I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. God is good, isn't he? He has blessed us. We just come through the Thanksgiving season, and that helped us maybe to be a little more mindful of what we are thankful for. But let's be thankful at all times. Also appreciated a quote on the board. In other words, if we are receivers, then we need to be givers also on that. So, all right, I appreciated the Sunday school class, the devotional also, but in the Sunday school class, discussing things and talking about the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And that is what I've chosen to speak about today, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? The comment was made that if we have God's Spirit within us, the devil cannot touch us. The example was given of Job. You know, Job was filled with the Spirit of God, and therefore the devil said that God had built a hedge around him, that he couldn't even get to him. But as we know also that God allowed the devil access to Job, but Job still remained faithful because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Our text is in Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I think we all want to know more about the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit, is it something that we do or that God does? I think that's something that we all feel a need in. We don't know very much about the Holy Spirit. But we do know the Holy Spirit is real because the Bible says so, and we know that he is at work in the world today. We know that he indwells every believer, and we know that he can give us the power that we need. And we know, we would like to know how to receive his power for daily living. And one of our problems is very practical. We don't know very much about the Holy Spirit. A pastor was asked a question one time. If you had to grade your congregation on their knowledge of the Holy Spirit, what grade would you give them? He said he would give his congregation a C+. That's not really bad, but it's not really good either. But then he went on to say that if you graded my congregation on their knowledge of God, I would give them an A. Their knowledge of Jesus Christ, I would give them an A+. But on the Holy Spirit, I think that's where we are lacking in sometimes. We don't know that much about the Holy Spirit. God the Father, we know about him. God the Son, we know him even better. But how about the Holy Spirit? What do we know about the Holy Spirit? I think that might be maybe a different story. Let's go to Acts 19, Acts chapter 19. There we have Paul, the Apostle Paul, coming through to Ephesus there. We'll just read the first 7 verses there. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John truly baptized, very verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. They had believed. They believed and they were baptized. But they must have only been baptized in the name of John. Maybe it was some of John's disciples that actually baptized them. And they didn't understand the whole thing. They were trying to do good, but they didn't understand everything. They didn't understand the whole plan of salvation. And therefore, they were baptized. And they were doing the Lord's work. They were disciples. But they had not received the Holy Ghost. And when they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and then Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. Many contemporary Christians could say the same thing. Contemporary means, you know, well, what does it mean? I didn't look it up, actually. Contemporary doesn't mean, I mean, it, my thinking of contemporary, partially, I guess, or something. Someone have a definition on that just offhand? Contemporary. Okay, something that's current, okay, but not in any depth. Does that make any sense? Anyway, believers that believe, but they are not totally given up to really and truly being filled with the Spirit of God. So, if someone asked us our personal knowledge of the Holy Spirit, what would be our answer? I believe this is one of the most important principles of the spiritual life. If we would learn this, and we would discover the source of natural power that can help us every single day. If we would just learn the power of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a great need that we have. And I'd like for all of us to really realize that need that we have of the Holy Spirit, that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is our great need. It is the need of the hour for God's people to discover what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then some questions come up. What is filling of the Holy Spirit? What difference does it make? How does it happen? But above all of these questions is, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? So what grade would we give ourselves if someone asked us that question? We desperately need the Holy Spirit today. Some years ago, a Dr. J. Vernon McGee gave a commencement address at the Dallas Theological Seminary, and he was then in his early 80s. He had a long, fruitful ministry already. But he said, if I were to start my ministry over again, I would give much more attention to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I would preach on the Spirit more frequently and attempt to lead people to depend on his power every day. If he would do his ministry over again. Even though he had a fruitful ministry already, but he still felt like that was maybe something that he didn't dwell enough on. Also, Charles Spurgeon said, "The grand thing the church wants in this time is God's Holy Spirit. More than anything, we need to rediscover the Holy Spirit and learn anew to depend on Him." Now, going back into Ephesians, trying to think here if I skipped over something. Going back to the Ephesians again, verse 18. Excuse me. There's a couple different translations here that I would like to read. That NIV says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And then the New Living Translation gives a slightly different wording. "Don't be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. In order that we might have the teaching clearly in front of us, let's think about the observations." There's 5 points here that I'd like to look at. And the one thing is the contrast between wine and the Spirit. Now, just automatically thinking about it, there's nothing they have in common. But the most basic point of this verse, there is a direct parallel drawn between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. And the comparison is the influence of control. A person under the influence, when people are driving, you know, sometimes they're under the influence. They're driving under the influence, a DUI. When they're under the influence of wine, they experience altered behavior. They may say or do things that they would not ordinarily do. Emotions may be heightened for a brief period, causing the person to experience anger, followed quickly by elation, followed by depression. It's not natural. If the person drinks enough wine, his mental processes will be affected and his decision-making ability will be radically altered, almost always with negative results. Now, the Holy Spirit will change your life. Likewise, the filling of the Holy Spirit produces a change in behavior. And we can see that if we go to Acts chapter 2. They're at the day of Pentecost. We'll read the first 4 verses. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound of heaven, from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." These, shall we call them timid disciples? I guess Peter would not have been necessarily timid, but these disciples became evangelists on fire for the Lord. They were just men from Galilee. They were nothing special. But when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, their nature was changed. They were changed. And also, going now back, let me go on down to verse 13. It says even there that when these people that were observing what had happened, they were talking in other tongues and things, and they said, well, they were mocking, but they said, "These guys are full of wine." They were changed. They were not the same. Okay, now going back again to Ephesians chapter 5, there we have, Paul mentions a number of practical things that relate to the filling of the Spirit. In verse 15, let's just read 15 through 21. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wisdom for living in this evil age that we're living in, being filled with the Spirit, will help us in this. And also understanding the will of God, what God wants for us in our life. And a joyful heart, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we'll be able to sing with truth and feeling to the Lord. And as was mentioned in the devotional this morning, a heart filled with thanksgiving. And then in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another, the attitude of mutual submission, one to another. That can only happen if we are filled with the Spirit. True submission is vitally important because it touches our need to be in control in every situation. When we submit from the heart, we are saying, I don't have to have my way all the time. Only a heart touched by the Holy Spirit can maintain such an attitude in every relationship in life. Only if we have the Spirit within us. And that will change our nature so that we can be what God wants us to be. Number two, it's a command. The Greek language, in the Greek language, this verb is the imperative mode. It means the filling of the Spirit isn't an optional part of the Christian life. Every Christian is to be filled with the Spirit all of the time. If we aren't, then we are not where God wants us to be, if we are not filled with the Spirit. And also, it's a present tense. It gives the idea of continual action. What happens when we, especially right now, there's lots of leaves out, we ask our children to go out and rake the leaves. Well, being children, sometimes they go out and they rake for a little while and then they come back in. And if we go and look, why, there's still a lot of leaves in the yard. So we can ask them, well, why did you not rake the leaves? Well, I did rake the leaves, but you didn't rake all the leaves. Well, you didn't tell me to. So the next thing is, well, go out and rake all the leaves. Okay? That is, we need to keep on doing something. It's not just a one-time thing. We need to continually be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled again and again. We could translate this verse this way, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. There's also Wes' expanded translation where he says, be constantly controlled by the Spirit. And John MacArthur says that we could translate it literally with something like being kept filled with the Spirit. And the Amplified says, be ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is supposed to be the normal way for Christians. That's part of our life. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And also, it's a passive, as Henry was talking about, our standard, we want the wording to be a want-to wording instead of a have-to. There is a difference on how it's received. And the same thing here in this verse here. He says, be filled with the Spirit. He's not necessarily saying you in a command voice, but he's, well, let's give some examples. Go to the store and pick up some milk. That's a active command. And a passive command is a little different. There's also another one, if I would tell someone to fill that hole with dirt, that is an active command. If this would be an active command, then it would be fill yourself with the Spirit. But we know that only God can fill us with the Spirit. So it's be filled with the Spirit. This is the key to everything. To be filled means that the filling of the Spirit is a work of God and not of man. We cannot fill ourselves. And there's also two important implications from this truth, to be filled. The Holy Spirit is ready and willing to fill us at any moment. And also, we must make ourselves available to Him to fill us. It's a little bit like, Dr. Ray Pritchard made up another term or a word, and it's fillability. There's not very many full-service gas stations around anymore. But I remember as a boy, we'd pull into a filling station, and the attendant would come out, and Dad would say, fill her up, you know. Well, that is telling him, the person, two things. It says, I am empty, and I need to be filled. I have the desire to be filled. So he says that is fillability. So we need that. We need to be filled. There is a fillability is a need plus desire. When you need to be filled with the Spirit, when your need to become filled with the Spirit becomes your great desire, you will be filled over and over again. And also, it's a plural command. We were talking in our class with about the verse, I think it was verse 14, talking about the exhortation there to admonish the unruly, I forget all the words there. That is not just talking just to the ministry or just the leadership in the church. That is talking to all of us to do that. And that is also what this is saying. It's a plural command. This command is plural. As if Paul were saying, let each and every one of you be filled with the Spirit. On one hand, that means the command is for every Christian. God intends and desires that all His children be filled with the Holy Spirit. But there is a sense in which there is also a corporate command. The church, as a church, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not something for my own personal edification. God's Spirit imparts life-giving power that transforms the church from a social gathering to a living body of Christ. When God's Spirit is there, it will make us a living body of Christ. And we can see that in these verses here. We can't fill ourselves with the Spirit. And also in verse 19 there, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are working together. We are edifying each other. And submitting ourselves in verse 21 there. Submitting ourselves one to another. Am I to be filled with the Spirit? Am I to be filled with the Spirit? But I am not to be filled alone. I am to be filled with the Spirit, but I'm not to be filled alone. When the Holy Spirit fills us one by one, our corporate life will be transformed. It will change us. Perhaps this one factor, I truly believe, this one factor makes a difference between a live church and a dead church. Both churches, we could have the same programs, sing the same songs, do everything the same. But a live church will be filled with the Spirit, and a dead church, there's just a huge difference between the two. So what are we? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. What is our church? Are we alive or are we dead? Outwardly, each church may look just alike, but one is dead and the other one is alive. And the Holy Spirit is what makes the difference. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit, not simply for ourselves, but for the reformation and the revival of those around us, the believers, other believers, and churches. There are also three issues that we need to think about when relating to being filled by the Spirit. The definition of the Spirit, filling of the Spirit, is what happens when the Holy Spirit has controlling interest in our life. When the Spirit has controlling interest in our life. So we can refer back to the wine and the Spirit. The drunken and Spirit-filled people have one thing in common. They are both controlled people. Their lives and behaviors are radically changed from that which fills them. If a man is filled with anger, then anger controls his life. If he is filled with greed, then greed dominates his life. If a man is filled with love, then love will influence his life in every aspect and everything that he does. So it's control by consent. We're allowing that to control us. When the Holy Spirit fills you, he will have the controlling interest in your life. Also, being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that I have more of the Spirit. There are some people that are more Spirit-filled than others in that they have better connection with God, and they allow the Spirit to work through them. It doesn't happen all at once, just the same as a drunkard doesn't get drunk all at once. He takes one drink and he's drunk. The Spirit, we need to grow in the Spirit. It happens over a period of time, sometimes faster than others. Being filled with the Spirit happens as we continually choose to live under the influence of the Spirit. That is what we need to be doing. And also cooperation. I believe every Christian is filled with the Spirit from the moment of the new birth. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life, then you are filled with the Spirit. Now, sometimes we lose some of that because of things that we allow into our life that can crowd out the Spirit. It only makes sense that new believers are filled with the same Spirit, which is why new believers have so much joy and walk so closely with the Lord. Have you ever noticed that? New believers are really rejoicing, and sometimes us that have accepted Christ a number of years ago are not quite as joyful about the Christian life as we were at one point in time. Why? We have allowed things to come in and crowd out the Spirit. We are not as full of the Spirit as we would like to think that we are. And for the new believers, it's just natural for them to do that because they are under the control or the cooperation of the Spirit. So many of us struggle at this very point. We fight the Lord because we want to do things our way. God says, okay, we can do it your way for a while, but it's not going to work. But we try it in our own strength. We try it by our own will. But then when we fail, then we cry out to the Lord again. And I think God allows that to happen to us at times, to bring us back, to realize where we really are, that we are not where he wants us to be. And the issue of contact. There's a book written by F.B. Meyer. He explains the Spirit's filling as a lot of people think of the Spirit as a substance to fill us. But go ahead.
It's a person.
That's right. The Spirit, that's not the best way to look at it, as filling a tank with gas. You know, it's when it's a substance to fill. But if we run out of the Spirit, God fills us again. But that's not the best image to use. Think about a month and a half, 2 months ago or whatever it was, we were up in Boston, Massachusetts, and we used the subway there for a day and a half or whatever it was. And think about those trains. There's three rails. Two of those are for the wheels. And the third rail is for the electricity. And if there's contact with that third rail, then the train can move. If that contact is broken, it stops. The third rail can be the Holy Ghost. It's God's power to us through the Holy Ghost. And if we have contact with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, then we can be moving, we can be about the Lord's business. But if we lose contact with the Spirit, then we are losing out. We're not where God wants us to be. Our lives simply stop working the way that God intended. There's another definition for the filling of the Spirit. It is that state in which the Holy Spirit is free to do all that he came into my life to do. That state in which the Holy Spirit is free to do all that he came into my life to do. Totally giving up. The filling of the Spirit is not primarily an emotional experience. It is certainly not reserved for a few super Christians. There is nothing more than the normal Christian life when the Holy Spirit is in control. All of us can experience that. There is nothing that will keep us from having that. And that's why the commandment is in the present tense. It's be filled in present tense. It's not, we'll leave that. We're continually to be controlled by the Spirit, cooperating with the Spirit, and in contact with the Spirit. This, then, is God's moment-by-moment provision for vitality, strength, courage, boldness, victory, and the abundant life. It is for you. It is for me. It is a command, and it is God's plan for our life. Also, talking of emptiness and openness, God is ready, willing, and able to fill us right now if we just ask. He is more willing to fill us than we are willing to have him fill us. God is ready. He is right there. But if for some reason we aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not because of God's reluctance. We do not have to beg God to do what he has already promised to do. Rather, he is begging us to make the way clear so that he can do what he promised to do. We are the ones that are in the way. Let's imagine filling up a jar that's already full with something. We can't do that. We can't fill something that's already full. Also, we can't fill something that the lid is on. The lid is on, so we can't fill something without removing the lid. Are some of us so full of ourselves that there is no room for the Spirit of God? Something to think about. Or are some of us, have we just simply closed our heart to the Spirit of God, that the Spirit can't work in our lives? Have we closed our lids? In a sense of being filled with the Spirit, it is an impossibility from our perspective, in, at least as far as it depends on us. Only God's Spirit can fill us. We need two things, emptiness and openness. That's what we need. Because we can't fill a jar that's already full, and we can't fill a jar that is not open. So we need to be coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I am empty. I need to be filled with your Spirit. Filling of the Spirit is really as simple as that. As long as we are conscious of our need, and as long as we are willing to yield to the Lord, we can be filled with the Spirit, because his power is available to us all day long. God's Spirit is always there. The Holy Spirit is never given merely for our own personal enjoyment. God sends his Spirit to enable us to live for Christ in the world. More than once in recent years, and for years already, people have said that we need to have a revival in America. After the 9/11 happening, a lot of people really turned to God, but it was just a matter of time until they started falling away again. We need a revival. And there's also that little prayer that we've heard already. Oh Lord, change the world. Begin, I pray, with me. It begins with us. It's not the people out there that need to be revived by God's Spirit. It is you and me. It's all of us. We need to start that revival. Our nation would be better, will be better, when our churches are better. And our churches will be better when we are better people. And we will be better people when we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we have God within us. Let us kneel for prayer.